The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello, and welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said that looks can be deceiving, and we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. You mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. It's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. Today is Sunday, May 15th, 2011, for those of you listening live, and it's not if you're listening through the recording. Thank you so much for joining me. I am very excited. I have a very special guest to introduce and share with you today. One of my mentors and teachers, a person who has been an inspiration for me as I've walked this path. But before I introduce her, I want to do what we start with every time, which is to open up and really feel the community that's out there. So if you would just take a couple of breaths and allow yourself to open up, to connect with all the rest who are out there listening live, all who are listening through the recording, and then expand it out further and consciously connect and open into feeling the Mother Earth and her support for you, and open further and allow yourself to feel the presence of your angels, your teachers, your mentors in spirit, the ascended masters in the spiritual hierarchy that are here supporting each one of us, all of humanity and this planet as we go through these transformative times. Just breathe that in and then expand out to the company of all the light workers on the planet, all of those who are consciously choosing at this time to remember who they are, to expose who they are, to share who they are. Because the more we connect with each other, the easier it becomes for all of us to open those doors. All right. So, back to my guest today. BJ King is an author, an artist, a teacher. She is the founder and president of Namaste Inc., BJ?
Yes.
a wonderful nonprofit organization. She runs the Namaste Mystery School of Remembering. She runs creativity retreats out of her center in Oklahoma. She does marvelous teaching, has created, brought through a number of very powerful works that she's written. She sends out a newsletter that always has potent tools in it and things to remember. And she's the person who taught me the importance of discernment. So, and one of my favorite people on the planet. So welcome, BJ.
Thank you, John.
So on the show, I am seeking to help people feel comfortable stepping up into their power, stepping up into sharing who they are with the world. And I know, as you know, that's not always easy.
No, so. It isn't. And that's one of the reasons I like to tell part of my story in these situations is to be an example of what it looks like to go from being who you thought you were to finding out who you really are and being brave enough to live it.
Absolutely. Well, and you live it more bravely than most people, so.
thank you.
Oh, I was
well, I get to surrender every day. I get to surrender every day. Two of my least favorite words are surrender and discipline.
Absolutely.
And we get to redo that one every day.
Oh, very good. So where would you like to begin? I mean, I think that a little bit of the picture of who you thought you were followed by some of those initial transformative experiences would be a good place to start. How's that feel to you?
Good. That's good.
Okay, so, have at it.
Yeah, back in 1979, I thought I was a very normal middle-class American housewife with a husband and two children, and I was Episcopalian as far as they'd let women go at that point. And I was very uncomfortable playing that role, but I did it perfectly, but I only had to take 4 Valium a day to look that perfect.
Absolutely.
And so at one point in 79, my mother died, which is always a shock to people, you know, when your parent dies. But for some of us, it's what it takes for us to actually finally have permission to be who we really are rather than who we are expected to be. And that happened in my case. And at the day that my mother died, the priest of our parish moved to Oklahoma City, and he started writing me letters to help me deal with my mother's grief, or my grief about my mother. And in the 6 months we wrote letters to each other and poured our soul and heart out on the paper, we realized that we were in love with each other, which was incredibly unhandy because we were both married. But as time went on, he got a divorce and left the priesthood and went back into geology, which is what he was before he was a priest. And I had not been happy in my marriage, and so finally decided to get a divorce and move to Oklahoma to join him and marry him. And we were going to create a retreat center in the Texas Hill Country. And 4 days after I got to Oklahoma City, he died of a heart attack in my bed, and then everything just seemingly fell apart for me. But I was too proud to go back to Texas and go back to my other life, and I know that my soul actually is what kept me from going. It wasn't all about pride. But I was left in a position of desperation. I didn't know what to do. I went back into banking because I'd been a banker, and that's the only thing I knew how to do. But time progressed, and I became even more depressed about it. And one day, after leaving the job, I was brave enough, or foolish enough, depending on how you look at it, to totally turn my life over to God. I'd never done this before, because even though I'd been so religious, I was afraid to completely turn my life over to God, because I was afraid I'd have to go to Africa and be a missionary, like what people do when they're foolish enough to become totally committed like that. But that day I was so depressed, I was like, okay, even Africa, you know, God, if you'll just talk to me, I'll go anywhere, say anything, do anything you want me to do, if you'll just talk to me, tell me what you want. And no big booming Charlton Heston voice came through to say anything, which is, of course, what I was expecting.
I think that's what everybody expects.
Exactly, exactly. And so I thought, you know, there must be a manual out there somewhere about how to figure out your life purpose. And so I thought, well, I'll go to the bookstore and find this manual. And I, having been raised in the church, not by my parents, but by my choice, I knew not to go close to the occult section of the bookstore. But that day I was so depressed that I just walked past it, and this book flew off the shelf, literally flew off the shelf in front of me on the floor, and I picked it up, and the name of the book was Psychic Energy, which I knew didn't have anything to do with me, and besides, it was ugly, and I don't do ugly. And so I put it back on the shelf and was in complete denial and went back to psychology and self-help and religion, where your help is supposed to come from. And there's no book back then about how to find your life purpose. And so I'm even more depressed. I start back out of the store, and the book is now lit up. It's got this white glowing light around it. Well, things did not light up in my reality back then, and so it pretty much freaked me out. But I'm also extremely practical, which is why I call myself a practical mystic now, because it's like, you've got to explain it to me. And I bought the book, but I'm also extremely cautious. And so on the way home, I made this bargain with God that if you've got a message for me in this book, it needs to be on one page. I'm going to do that thing we used to do with the Bible, you know, where you close your eyes, you ask a question, you open the Bible, you put your finger down, and that's supposed to be the answer.
Right.
So I agreed to do that with this book, and the page I opened to was instructions on how to receive inspired writing from your soul. And I had been asking for direct answers from God, and I thought, well, maybe I better try this. And so I did everything just exactly like it said. You know, I took a shower to symbolically cleanse my aura, even though I didn't know what an aura was. I was going to do all this right, you know. I didn't want to mess this up. So I took the phone off the hook and lit a white candle and sat on the couch with my back straight and pencil and paper on my lap. And I started breathing and counting just like it said in the book. And my left brain didn't shut up. You know, it's like, this is the dumbest thing you've ever done. This is not going to work. Put the phone on the hook. For God's sake, go get a job, you know. And I was like, no, I've already done all that and it didn't work. I'm going to sit here until God says something to me. And so I just keep breathing and counting and breathing and counting. And in a few minutes, there were words in my head. It wasn't a voice. It was just words on the other side of my brain. And the other one didn't shut up, you know. So and there were words that said, through this pen will come the words you need. And so I just kept sitting there expecting my hand to write by itself, you know. And it didn't. The words just kept saying the same thing over and over and over. And I'm not a very patient person. And so after a short time, I said, what? You know, and it was like a record skipping the beat. And it was like there were five more words. And then I realized that I was supposed to write what was there. And so I would write five words, and there'd be five more words, and write five words, and there'd be five more words. Well, seven legal five pages later, the words stopped. And the message from God was, okay, now that you've turned your will over to me, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be? And you will find that my will for your life will very closely parallel your own true desires. But I don't take away your free will, so you must tell me what it is that you desire in writing. Well, this was the worst answer I could possibly get. The idea that we have to make this up, our life.
Homework from God.
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean, make it up? You know, I was turning my life over to you so you would tell me what to do, you know. So I was very confused, and I thought, okay, well, I don't even know what I want, but I'll try this. I'll try to write down what I, as much as I know. And so I made a list that said, I want to do something creative. I want to do something I do at home. I want to do something I can't be fired from. I wanted to teach, because I'd found out I like to teach adults something that they really wanted to learn through teaching bank teller security. And I wanted to, I'd read one book about self-actualization, and I thought, well, wouldn't that be cool if everybody became everything they're capable of being? I'll just write that down and see if God's impressed that I know such a big word as self-actualization. And I made that list, and, you know, by creative, I meant not boring. I didn't mean that I had any talent, you know. So I put the list beside the bed. I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning thinking, maybe I'm schizophrenic. You know, I've got two conversations going on in my head now. And so I thought, well, you know, the one thing it said in the writing yesterday that I know I didn't make up was, try this for 30 days before you give up. And I wouldn't set myself up to do anything for 30 days. So I knew that had to be coming from somewhere else, you know. So I did the whole thing again, the shower, the candle, the phone, the whole business, you know, and sat down and started counting again. And the second day, I didn't even get counted down before the words started. And we want you to create a line of hand-painted greeting cards and manufacture and market these. And this is the kind of paper, and this is how to fold it, and these are the messages we want in the cards, and this is how much they're supposed to sell for. And it's, the company name is BJ Originals, all lowercase letters and no periods. I mean, it was all very specific. And, of course, I'm arguing, saying, I don't know how to paint. You know, I know how to do the calligraphy of the words, but I don't know how to paint. And it was just as if I wasn't arguing, you know, like I didn't mean I was creative. I meant not boring. And I had like $105 in the world at that point, and the suggestion was that I go out and buy watercolors and this parchment paper and that I make these cards. And so I went out and bought it, and as soon as I tried it, this flower and this butterfly hovering over the flower came out of the end of the brush. Well, when you do something that you don't know how to do, it's really fun to watch yourself do it because you are amazed by it, you know. And so I made all these cards, having not any idea where I was going to market them. And one morning I woke up and it was raining outside, and the voice or the spirit said, and again, we're not talking about a voice. We're just talking about words coming into my brain, you know. Which is an important thing to remember, because you don't want visions and you don't want voice. You want knowingness. And I didn't know that back then. I kept it wanting to be a voice or at least visions. But the truth is, most of us came in from a higher vibration than seeing. Seeing is third and fourth dimensional. And verbal, auditory, is third and fourth and the lowest part of the fifth dimension. And most of us came in from a higher vibration than that, and so our soul is waiting for us to ask for knowingness. And once we ask for knowingness, it's like we get the experience of the information, like a spiritual email being dropped into your consciousness, and it registers as if you heard it, as if you saw it, as if you smelled it. Now, all of your senses react to it once you ask for knowingness. And I think that's an extremely important thing to know about. And I haven't seen that written down anywhere, you know, except where I've written it myself, you know. And next to discernment, I think that's probably the most important other thing to know, you know. And so the repetitive thought was, go to Albertsons. And I said, well, it's raining outside. Go to Albertsons. I'm not dressed. I haven't taken a shower. I don't have my makeup on. My hair's not done, you know. I'm from West Texas. All that has to be done before you go out the door, you know. And so after a while, it was so repetitious. And I had no money by then. And so going to a grocery store was just like, why would I do that? But I finally went ahead and did it anyway, and I'm pushing this empty grocery cart through Albertsons. And Albertsons is a big national grocery drugstore chain kind of thing, you know. And I am not knowing what to expect at this point. I'm thinking, you know, are the peas going to light up and start talking to me? You know, I had nobody to talk to about what was happening to me. It was before I met all you cool people that already had these experiences, you know. And so I was walking along, and all of a sudden I hear this man's voice saying, what are you doing? I haven't seen you in the longest time. And he used to cash his check at my window every Friday at the bank, and that was how well I knew him and how he recognized me out of my element and my sweats and no makeup was a miracle in itself. And you kind of hesitate to tell the Rainbow Bread Man that God has designed a line of greeting cards and is looking for a place to market them, you know. So I just said, I'm not at the bank anymore. And he said, well, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I'm painting greeting cards. And he says, well, where do you market them? And I said, well, I don't know anything about marketing. And he said, well, I do, and all the people in charge of that are going to be in town tomorrow from Tulsa, and if you want me to, I'll get you an appointment, and you can show them what you have. And I'm just dumbfounded, you know. I'm just like, what? And immediately, you know, my left brain and my limitation gets turned on and says, there's no way they're going to accept a handmade product made by one woman in a national chain store. This is not good business. You know, I'm talking myself out of it even before I follow through with the opportunity. But he gives me time where I'm supposed to be and the name of the guy I'm supposed to talk to and everything. And so the next day I take my little basket and my little card samples to this guy and I show them to him, fully expecting him to laugh and say, you've got to be kidding, you know. But instead he reads every single one of them. And then he finally says, these are amazing. I've never seen anything like this. Yes, we definitely want to carry them. And he said, but you'll need to furnish the racks because we can't put them on with American Greeting or whatever it is that they normally carry. And I'm just so dumbstruck, I just nod my head like, okay, you know, having no idea where I'm going to get these racks because I have no money and no right. source of income. And I have one credit card left that I could potentially charge $285 on. So I go back home and I meditate and I ask God, you know, where do you get racks? You know, and so I feel like looking in the Yellow Pages and I look and sure enough, there's a wholesale greeting card company. And so I call them up and I ask the guy, do you have any racks that don't have a company name on them that would fit this dimension of card? And the guy starts laughing and he said, I've got them hanging from the rafters. And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, somebody ordered them in 1977, and they went out of business before they picked them up, and I got stuck with them, and I've got them hanging from the rafters, and I can sell them to you for 1977 prices. Well, this was 1982, so you can see how far ahead of me God already was with putting this all together.
She plans well.
Yeah, if I show up and go to places, even though it didn't make any sense to go to Albertsons, you know. But see, if I didn't follow the intuition and I didn't go there, there's a whole stream of things here and people I'm supposed to meet and so forth that I would have completely screwed up. Because I was stubborn and didn't go there, you know. But since I did go, and all these amazing other things happened. And after Spirit told me where to get the car, the racks, then I'm like, well, how am I going to pay for them? Because the guy says that you'll sell them to me for $100 a piece, but I need 8 racks because there's 8 stores in the Metroplex area. And Spirit says, write a check. I will get you the money before the check gets to the bank on Monday. And, you know, I'm an ex-banker. If I write an $800 hot check and God doesn't cover it, I can go to prison and never be bonded to be a banker again. So I'm cutting off my known way of making a living and trusting that God is going to create cash on Sunday. But, you know, I was desperate by then, and I figured I can't save my life doing anything else. I'd better try this. Because this thing about meeting the Rainbow Bread Man was so amazing that I was like, you know, maybe God is God. And maybe God can talk to us directly like this and help us to live our life if we just pay attention and we're brave enough to follow whatever these intuitive suggestions are. And then the next message was, we also would like you to take this course this weekend. And I called the people up, and of course it cost $285, which was exactly what I had left on my credit card. And so I signed up to take it, and I go there, and I'm listening to the speaker, and I see out of the corner of my eye this really nice-looking white-haired gentleman, and I thought I knew him, and he seemed really familiar, and I thought at the break I'll go over and look at his name tag, and it'll mean something to me. And I'm standing in front of him, and it doesn't mean anything. I've never seen him before. And then I'm embarrassed thinking that he's going to think I'm trying to pick him up with the oldest line in the world, I know you from somewhere. And so I just muttered something about must have been in another lifetime, and I went over and sat down and put my head down, and he comes over and he leans over and says, could I take you to lunch and let's try to figure out where I know you from? And I didn't have enough money to buy my lunch, so it seemed like a good idea that he was going to take me to lunch. And so we went to lunch and I showed him the cards and I told him about these messages that I received because these people had come to this thing to learn how to do what was already happening to me. So it was the first time I had anybody to talk to who wouldn't think I was crazy about right. what was happening to me, which was a relief, actually. And at the end of the day, he said, could I take you to lunch again tomorrow? And I said, well, I have to go buy these racks for my cards. But I didn't tell him that I was going to write a hot check. You know, I just said, I've right. got to go pick them up at 1 o'clock. He said, well, I'll save you a seat when you come back. Come and sit with me. And so I got the racks, and I was as tense as I've ever been in my life. You know, writing a hot check, getting married was nothing compared to writing this check for me. You know, the fear involved in it was nothing. And so I go back, and I'm so terrified I can't even talk. I'm so scared. And I sit down next to him, and he's an elderly person with hearing aids in both ears. And you know how people whisper that we're hearing aids? They can't tell how loud they're talking, you know. So he puts his hand on my leg, and he says, "Did you get your Rex?" And I nod my head, you know, and he says, "How much did it cost?" And I thought, this old fool has got to shut up. You know, we're going to let everybody in this room know I am a committed felon here. And so he says it even louder. And so I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I shoved it over to him to try to get him to shut up. And so in a few minutes, he's put paper in my hand under the table. And so I thought, oh, at least we're going to write notes. We're not going to keep yelling at each other. And so I took my hand out from under the table when the speaker got through, and he filled my hand with $100 bills, which,
Very nice.
Everything your mother ever taught you about not taking money from men goes by in red neon letters at this point. But I'm like, you know, he's not that bad looking. I probably could negotiate this, you know. And I said, what is this? And he said, well, it's money. I said, well, I know that, but I mean, why are you putting it in my hand? He said, well, it seems to me that you need it. And I said, well, yes, I need it, but I can't borrow it from you. I don't have any collateral. You know, my banker thing is coming up right there. And I don't know if I'll ever make enough money to give it back to you. And he said, well, who asked you to give it back? And I said, well, you don't understand. I would have to. He said, no, you don't understand. Before I left Texas to drive up here for this seminar, Spirit asked me to go to my safety deposit box and take out 8 $100 bills and bring them with me. And I never carry cash with me when I travel. And I'm supposed to give it to you. And I said, well, yeah, but I need to give it back to you at some point. And he said, no. He said, karmically, if I give it to you and later you give it on to somebody else who needs it, then it comes back around to me multiplied. Well, I didn't know this word karmically, but I thought if this old fool believes that, I'm going to let him believe that. I've got to get myself out of this mess, you know. And he's getting in his car and going back to Texas to his little wife, and I'm going to take this as coming from God. And so I did, and I got the cards in all of those stores, and right away I realized I've created a monster. Nobody can paint that fast, you know, and do calligraphy that fast, because these stores are open 24 hours a day. And so I'm not sleeping. I'm just painting and sleeping maybe 4 hours a night. And after a few days, he calls and says, well, how's it going? And I said, well, not well, you know. They're going to take 6 weeks to set me up as a new vendor, and I'm not going to get any check, you know, for 6 weeks, and I don't have any money to buy more paper and envelopes, and, you know, it's not good. And he said, well, haven't you bought your photocopy machine yet? And I just lost it. You know, I called him everything I'd ever learned as a bad word in Texas. And he said, calm down. I'm sure you know a few of those. Yeah, I did. And when you have sleep deprivation, you can find more than you even knew you knew before. And he said, I'm coming to Oklahoma tomorrow, and I'm supposed to buy you a photocopy machine. And I thought, well, we can get my price up, of my body up, where we can comfortably negotiate it later. Or this guy really is being sent by God. And either way, I'm going to do it because I am too tired to do anything else. So he comes to town the next day, and he peels off more $100 bills, which I guess he has a whole safety deposit box full of them somewhere. And he has to pay cash because his wife can't know anything about this. You know, what he's doing. And so he buys a photocopy machine, and they deliver it out to the apartment, and we're standing there trying to figure out how to use it. And he said, you know, how bad is your dad? And he said, you've been on unemployment, off of unemployment, and you've got these two kids in Texas you want to help with, and how bad is it? I said, well, all my credit cards are maxed out. My rent's past due. My car payment's past due. My utilities are past due. And I've created this thing that I have to feed paper and envelopes, and I'm not going to get any money for six more weeks. And he said, well, give me your credit cards. And I thought he was taking them to keep me from trying to charge on them. And So I couldn't use him anyway, so I just gave him to him, and he left. And I thought he went on to the doctor and went on back to Texas. But instead, in about an hour, he came back and knocked on the door, and he had gone to the bank and paid off $4,000 in credit cards and gave them back to me to use until the company started making money. So, you know, the good thing to think about when you live this way is that there are other people who are listening, and some of them are brave enough to do whatever it is that Spirit's asking him to do, even if it involves money. And I did the greeting card company for 3.5 years, and then Spirit asked me to sell everything I owned and just put my clothes and myself and a few things in my car, and that I would travel every day, and I would be told what cities to go to, and I would be given the names of the people that I was supposed to find to deliver messages to. And this is the worst cold call you ever make in your life, is to call somebody up and say, God gave me your name in meditation this morning, can I come by and deliver a message, you know? And they'll either hang up on you or want to meet you at the Denny's, and or say, what I asked for a channel 3 weeks ago, what took you so long to get here? And those are your favorite people, because they'll take you home and take care of you for a few days and give you some place to sleep and feed you. And maybe, you know, some of the people on your list are their hairdresser or their mother-in-law or somebody, and so you get to check off a few more people you're looking for. So I did that for over 5 years at a home, as a homeless person, just driving from one city to the next, meeting all these amazing people. And then I was led through a relationship to move back to Oklahoma City. It seems like God moves me from one city to another through getting involved in relationships. I mean, that's not new to any of us, right?
No, that's not.
As a way of getting us from one place to another. So I came back to Oklahoma City, but I'd always thought that I was going to create a retreat center, because the Master Jesus had materialized in my bedroom back when he asked me to create the Namaste organization, and when he asked me to go on the road. And so I'd been waiting for years and years and years, and people who had a lot of money would come right up to the sign on the dotted line part to buy a place for me to use as a creativity retreat center, and then they would back out. And then one day, after I'd moved back to Oklahoma City, a friend of mine who lived in Denver, who is a real estate broker, she called and said she had waked up and Spirit had asked her to refinance her house and take out her equity and buy a place here in Oklahoma City for me to use as the center. And she was very clear about that and very willing to do that. So that day I went to the post office, and the young man behind the counter said, well, you look really happy today. And I said, well, I'm going to finally get to have my own home. And he pulled a business card out of his pocket, and he said, well, I just finished my real estate license. Maybe I can help you with that, you know. And the first house we looked at, one of the things I had written down, of course, I had completely designed the house in writing, which is part of what I'm here to teach, is how to manifest, how to demonstrate manifestation. And so I had written out all the size and perimeters and everything about the house. And one of the things I had said was that I wanted it to have a view of a large body of water. And the first house I was shown was across the street from the city water tower to prove to me that I have to be more specific in what I ask about, you know, what I write down. And so then this house was the first one that he took us to see. And one of the agreements I had with Spirit was if I got confused or wondered if I was in the right place, they would manifest a blue feather, like the blue feather on the front of Richard Bach's book, Illusions, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so just as I walked up to the porch of this house, there was a blue jay feather on the ground just before the porch. And as my daughter and I walked up the stairs, the spirit of the house said, rescue me, because it had been abused by the people who had lived here and lost it in a foreclosure situation. So we now have this beautiful 4,400 square foot home overlooking the river with sunroom and pond, quarry pond and decks and guest rooms and a huge studio for people to come and learn watercolor and learn meditation, learn how to receive intuition and so forth. So have a beautiful place to live now.
Absolutely. I've been there. It is. Yeah. A wonderful place to go connect with spirit.
Yeah. And a few years ago, the upper story is wooden and the bottom floor is brick, and I needed to put vinyl siding on the upper story so it would never have to be painted again. And so I had written all that out, and I put a picture of what that would look like beside my telephone, and every time I answered the phone, I would visualize that that's what it was going to look like. And one of my jobs at that point for Spirit was to go to all of the Enea casinos around here, of which there are many, and set up a vortex of energy to bless the people who came in there and to bless the Indians that were benefiting from it. And every time I would go to this one casino, I would see the same man every single time I went, no matter what day or what time of day or whatever it was. And he had this enormous roll of $100 bills, and he was always winning, and so I would always watch him. But I never spoke to him, and he never even looked at me. And one day, they started putting my siding on the house next door, which really pissed me off. You know, I was like, what part of my address did you not get, God, you know? And so finally, I got over being mad. I went next door, and I asked the guys. I said, you know, when your boss comes to check on you again, would you ask him to come over and give me a bid on how much it would cost to put siding on the upper part of the house? And so when their boss shows up at my front door, and Oklahoma City is an enormous city, so when their boss shows up at the front door, it's the man from the casino. So you know you've got the right person, you know, you still don't know where the money's coming from. But right. One of the things that I had read that Maharishi said in talking to Deepak Chopra, it was before Deepak wrote his books on manifestation, and Maharishi was telling Deepak that he was going to build these meditation temples all over the world. And Deepak said, well, where's the money going to come from? And he said, from wherever it is now. And I thought, what a profound thing, you know, just the idea that the money's out there. You just have to energetically move it to where you need it to be, you know. And so I started thinking about that idea. And I tried to convince this man that if he would just start putting the siding on, the money would show up. And he said, lady, right. I believe that you believe that, and I believe in God. He said, but I don't, I'm not there yet with the money part. And he said, but what I will do is if you call me up and you tell me you have the money, I'll send a crew out the next day and do your job. And normally people have to wait 6 weeks to 6 months to get the job done. You know, he said, but with your faith, I'll do this for you if you call me and tell me you have the money. And so I just kept holding the vision that the money was on its way. And another woman called from Minneapolis, and she said, well, I was meditating this morning, and Spirit said, something that's going on with you, I should have something to do with it. What's happening? And so I told her about the vinyl siding idea and the men from the casino and so forth, and she said, well, I've got a line of credit, you know, and I'll talk to my husband about loaning you the money to do this. And then I didn't hear from her and didn't hear from her. And we were all meeting in Sedona for the next Namaste gathering. We have a gathering of people who want to get together and talk about this sort of thing once a year. And it was going to be in Sedona that year, and she and her husband were coming. And so she never called me back, and they all showed up in Sedona, and she took me to the side and said, well, I'm sorry I didn't call you back. I said, well, I figured your husband didn't want you to loan the money. And she said, well, he would have to loan the money to your friend who actually owns the house, and he doesn't know her. and so he wasn't comfortable loaning the money to somebody he doesn't know, even though you're the one that's going to be paying it back. And I said, well, I understand completely. Don't worry about it. The money's on its way from wherever it is now. And she says, but he would be willing to buy the house from your friend and give you life estate to the property. And we would be 100% responsible for the maintenance, and you would only be responsible for paying the mortgage as rent, you know. And having life estate to the property was something I had asked for like 18 years ago, you know. And
right.
So when you write out what you desire, I've learned that it's a really good idea to write at the bottom, I now accept this or something better, through the grace of God and to the highest good of all concerned. Because God very often, normally, usually in my case, has a better idea than what I can figure out or make up for myself, you know.
Absolutely.
And I've also learned that it's a really good idea not to use the term want or use the term need, because your subconscious mind takes you literally and your soul takes you literally. And it thinks that you want to stay in a state of wanting or stay in a state of needing. So it's best to write, I now intend, desire, and gratefully accept. Because then you've covered now, which means present tense. You've covered intention, you covered gratitude, and you've covered expectation. So you covered all of the tenets of manifestation, desire, belief, expectancy, and gratitude. So that is a way of beginning your paper on what it is you're going to describe. And, you know, you wouldn't just call up Neiman's and say, send me a sweater. You need to be very specific about, is it red, is it cotton and rayme, is it, you know, what size is it? You need to be very specific in what you ask for. And because we're now in the middle of the fourth dimension instead of the third dimension, the rules are different in the fourth dimension. In order for the soul to have permission to assist us, it has to be in writing. So this is something else that most people don't know at this point, you know, that whatever your desires are, they need to be written down. And then
right.
Once they're written down, there's just one question to ask your soul. And I didn't know that, and I for many years would ask, you know, where's the money coming from? When is the money coming? Where's my partner? Where am I going to live? You know, I would ask all these different questions, and the soul would either not say anything, or they would say soon, which of course can mean 10,000 years because they're not dealing with time. And that was kind of a useless answer that I would get very often. And so finally I got exasperated and I told my guidance, you know, I'm going to quit working for you. I'm going to go back to being a banker because I don't get a paycheck, you know, at the end of this. And you don't even answer my questions. You don't give me any practical help in the third dimension. And so he said, well, you don't ask the right question. And I said, well, you can't mean there is just a right question. And he said, well, yeah. And I thought, well, surely not. They would have tattooed it on our forearm before we came down here if there was a right question. You know, that wouldn't make sense. And he said, well, you don't get the question until you ask for it. And I said, well, okay, I'm asking. What is it? He said, if you say, what is the next single thing for me to do or know for me to be in a state of divine grace? It's like in the big computer in the sky, the password is divine grace. And then if you ask it in this way, then we are able to drop into your consciousness and intuition that tells you the next single thing. And all you ever really need to know is the next single thing. You don't need to know about next week or next year. You only need to know the next single thing. And
you
can
only do one thing at a time.
You can only do one thing at a time. And your ego and your fear level, your comfort zone, can only stand it a little bit at a time, you know. Because if they had told me on the first day of all these things I was going to do and all this traveling and all, you know, I would not have just been in bed. I would have been under bed, you know. Because I would never have imagined that I was capable of doing all these things.
Yeah, I wouldn't have agreed to it either.
No, we would have been absolutely terrified. we would never have been able to get off square one. But since they just open the door a crack at a time, you know, and reveal the crack at a time that, oh, by the way, you're an extraterrestrial, you know, that you walked into this body. Oh, by the way, the universe is run by a corporation of these higher level spiritual beings. You know, when you come out of Christianity, they kind of have to break the news to you of the truth and reality a little bit at a time, because it's so dramatically different than what you thought it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's quite a shock as you go along, I think, you know. But once you find out who you really are, and the one thing I've learned is that if I can keep going back to the true definition of who I am, that I am God operating through the personality of BJ for the benefit of Earth, all species of life on the Earth, and beyond. If I can go back to that, then I can stay focused on the truth. You know, I can realize I'm not doing it. It's being done right through me. And, you know, the Master Jesus never said he was doing it. He always said, my Father is doing it through me. You know, he never, right. he only took credit for showing up. and that's kind of what I believe in. You know, our job is to show up and be willing and look good. And the rest of it, we just let it happen. We let it happen through us. You know, obviously,
that's the best mantra I know.
Yeah. Obviously, the soul is the one that created the body, so it would have a vehicle through which to do things here in this dimension. And the fact that we took on believing that the body belongs to us, that we are the body, you know, then we got in a lot of trouble with that belief and a lot of limitation about, I don't know how to do that. Well, of course, I didn't know how to paint either. But, if I, you know, the painting happens through me. I just have to show up with the materials, and then it happens.
Yeah, that and the willingness.
Exactly, yeah. You got to get willing, and you got to move your fear and your limiting beliefs out of the way, which, you know, it's like I said, it's a daily thing. You surrender every day, and
yeah,
you get willing to show up every day, and you practice a certain amount of discipline so the body lasts long enough to get it all done, yeah. I just finished writing my life story, a lot of these stories like I told you today, and I'm looking for a publisher or a way to self-publish it, you know. So if anybody out there knows the next thing about that, we would love for them to get in contact with us.
That's wonderful. What's the best way for people to contact you? I know you have a website.
Right. On the website, it tells you, you know, my address and my phone number. And I don't do email very often. You can reach me through email, but I don't do it very often because I can always find things I'd rather do, like lay on the couch and read a mystery novel, than to face, you know, 150 emails a day. So it's not a I will eventually answer, but it's not a fast way to get in touch with me. It's better to call me if you want to actually talk to me. Or if you write me regular mail and it comes from the post office, I always answer all of that mail. Yeah.
And the website is namasteconsciousness.org, correct?
Right, O-R-G. Mm-hmm.
O-R-G, right. That's namasteconsciousness.org. And for those of you who don't know how to spell it, namaste is N-A-M-A-S-T-E. Mm-hmm. So.
And namaste means the divine within me acknowledges the divine within you.
And that's Sanskrit, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is the name that the Master Jesus chose for the organization when he materialized in my bedroom in 1984 and asked me to create the organization. And I'd only ever heard the word once in 1969, if you can imagine. I was flipping through television to find something for my three-month-old baby to look at. And on OETA, or, you know, the National Broadcasting or whatever, and there was this woman, Lilius Yoga and You kind of person, and she was putting her hands together, and she said that word in 1969, and every hair on my body stood up, you know. And I got chill bumps all over, and I had absolutely no idea what that was about. You know, I knew nothing about psychic confirmation or the body reaction to the truth or anything back then. But then when he said it, you know, all that many years later, I was like, whoa, that must have been why my body had such a strong reaction. Even that
it knew what was coming.
Yeah, my body knew. I certainly didn't. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it has been just a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for sharing your
stories. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's always fun to get to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely.
And I look forward to our being in Phoenix. We're going to be in Phoenix the first part of October. Talking, you and I both are going to be speakers at a walk-in conference in early October in Phoenix. So if anybody's interested in that, they can contact us about that too.
Absolutely. And I'll be doing a whole show on walk-ins coming up here sometime soon. And the next guest I'll have is actually Marilyn's going to join me, who is the one who got the guidance to set the whole thing up. So
yeah, she'll tell them all about the conference then,
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to seeing you out there. That's going to be a wonderful time. And
so now you're going to channel for us?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little bit of channeling here.
Okay.
The energies are all set up already. So for those of you out there listening, no need for me to do the invocation. It's already set. Just allow some deep breathing to help open up the channels for you to receive, and I'll do the toning, and we'll be underway. So,
thank you, John.
Dear ones, this is Saint Germain, come to be with you today. Welcome. Welcome. For today, we have a blessing to offer to you. We would ask you each to consciously choose to open the crown, to open the third eye. For we are going to infuse energies to aid you in your knowing, to aid you in your connecting, to aid you in your receiving that which has been awaiting your awareness, awaiting your greater willingness, and awaiting your asking the questions in the right way. So, as you imagine, as you envision, as you open the crown, literally, we're just taking the top of your head off. Don't worry, we'll put it back in the right place. And again, open not only the front of the third eye, but also the back. Allow yourself to imagine those simply expanding to a much greater degree than you can possibly think of them to be. Probably opening out in that cone shape until they're as large as the diameter of a basketball or a soccer ball or a big watermelon. And what we are going to bring in is first the white light, and that is going to come in through the crown. It is going to come in large. Imagine it coming directly from the sun, coming into a point. As it comes to the point where the crown chakra meets the central channel and meets the front and the back of the third eye. And so allow it, as it comes in, know that it is going to enter the central channel and continue on down, but it is also going to come out through the front and the back of the third eye. And in doing so, it is taking out debris. It is cleaning out energies that have been stuck, that have been preventing you from receiving with the clarity that you have been seeking to receive. And so simply allow this cleansing to take place. Keep the breathing going smoothly, deeply, but gently. And as that energy continues to come in, we take it down all the way through the central channel, and we take it and divide it into three channels. We send it down the legs and out through the chakras in the feet. So open those. Imagine the chakras in the feet opening wide as well, so that just inside the earth or just inside you're the floor of wherever you are, they are also open that wide, open as wide as the basketball. Because one of the things about receiving is that you can't just keep it in your head, dear ones. You need to bring it down all the way and ground it into the earth. So we open up the feet to do that. We also open up the root chakra coming out between the legs. And again, once more, allowing that expansion to that size, the basketball or larger. Again, to help with the grounding. And we take those not just into the earth and then they dribble away. This is not, shall we say, like rain trying to find its way into the earth. These channels go directly down all the way to the center. As they go down, they merge together as one. But in the merging, they overlap each other, but they also entwine with each other. So imagine it as individual strands of string being wound up together, entwined together to become a rope, much stronger, much more connected, much better able to maintain that flow of energies, that flow of knowingness, that flow of receiving. And so we bring this flow through. Allow yourself once more again to focus on the breath, let go of the vision of the flow, and just focus on the breath. Give yourself the permission to anchor and integrate this fully within your energy field, as fully as you are presently able. And if you think of it, we would encourage you to do this same envisioning over the next 7 days, to do the fullest possible anchoring of it that you can within your energy field, because each day we will be able to take it a little bit farther for you. Now, while we are maintaining that white light flow coming in, flowing out through the front and the back of the third eye and flowing down into the earth all the way to that connection point at the very center, at the very heart of the earth, we are also now opening up the flow in the opposite direction, in the other direction. So the energy is also going to be coming from the earth. You are here not just to be inspired by spirit as that larger thing up there, but spirit as the earth herself. And it is time to open that receiving more fully so that you can walk more easily in conjunction with, in union with, in partnership with the earth herself. And so allow yourself to feel this energy coming up. And this will change in color. It is not going to be the white light for very many of you. For some, for many, it will be green. For others, it will be pink. For many, it will be various hues, multiple hues within the same flow. It does not matter what it is. Just know that what it is correct and perfect for you. And as that comes up, again, the flow comes up through both legs, it comes up through the root chakra, it comes up the central channel, and as it gets to the third eye, it as well flows out through the front and the back of the third eye, and flows out through the crown. And as this energy comes up and flows out through the crown, it is magnified in your awareness of the divinity of it, even though the source itself is from the earth. And it is about owning that knowing, claiming that knowing, receiving that knowing, that divinity is the earth and the earth is divinity. Physicality is divinity and divinity can be physicality. And so allow yourselves to breathe that in. Claim that for your knowing. Claim that for your physicality. Claim that for your beingness. And as these energies flow and work together, know that they are overlapping as they go up and down. The communication is now opening that much more clearly within each and every cell of your body. For now, the energy is spreading out through the systems, through the physical nature, cell by cell by cell, coming out from the central channel, if you will, infecting you with unity, infecting the cells of your body with unity between that which you have perceived as the spiritual and that which you have perceived as the physical. And knowing that unity is spreading throughout you, again, breathe in deeply and give yourself permission to be receptive. Give yourself permission to be in the state of graceful knowing, the state of divine knowing, the state of knowingness. Now we give you one more piece of knowing. Before we take our leave, we said, do this over the next 7 days. You can do it further than that, if you would like. we would also offer you this. You do not need to remember every step in this. You do not need to, shall we say, direct us to do it. You have opened the doors. You have allowed the flows. These connections, these pathways are ready to receive this. So all you need to do is to set the intention. You can speak these words, you can write them down, you can express them in whatever way you would like. I choose to open more fully into the flow of my knowingness. I choose to open more fully into the flow of my divinity. I choose to open more fully into knowing the divinity of all that I am. And again, even those words do not need to be exactly as we have just spoken them. You can simply state this. I choose to receive today what I received from the show the other day from Saint Germain. We take direction. We know what you mean. That is clear enough, dear ones. But you need to be clear within you that what you're doing is opening up your knowingness and opening up into the unity of the experience of divinity as physicality, expressing through physicality, expressing through you, everything you have defined as you, that is merely expressions coming out of the truth of you. You are divine, period. 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 That is all there is. And the more you remember that, the more deeply you claim that, the more deeply you own that, the more you will be able to live it. And so we give you our thanks for being in body at this time. We know that there are challenges because the mass consciousness is still holding much of the energy of limitation, but we tell you this, the pathway now is clear for the planetary ascension. Nothing will get in the way. Nothing will stop it. And you have the power to choose to step into the flow of that rather than being buffeted by it. If you were to think of it as the tsunami coming in, which in many ways energetically it is, just know this, if you are prepared for the tsunami and you are not choosing obliviously to be on the beach watching it as it comes in, you can quite easily simply accept that there is great change taking place and you can feel free within that flow. You can simply lift yourself above the tumult of the change, the tumult of the tsunami. Because it does not need to destroy or create difficulty if you are willing to let go of the limitations that you have been taught and that you are still holding on to, whether consciously or unconsciously. That is what it takes. You being willing to let go. Consciously choosing it, as was said already, surrendering. You are not surrendering to do someone else's bidding. You are surrendering into the divinity you are. This is not God going to act like a puppet, pulling your strings and getting you to dance. This is you stating, I choose to let go. Not of illusion, so to speak, but of the perspective that is the limited, of the perspective that is, I am not enough, I am not divine. Both of these are false. That is what you're being asked to let go of. In order to do that, you simply must choose. But choice is not a one-time thing. Many people act like it is. They act like it is. Well, I made the choice to walk the spiritual path. You don't just take one step to walk the spiritual path. You make the choice again. You take the next step. You make the choice again. You take the next step. You make the choice again. You take the next step. Which is why that question has such value and has such power. What is the next single thing? That's all there is. The next thing. Yes, some of you do two things at once. You listen to the radio and you do writing and you do other things. None of you, even those of you who think you're good at it, none of you are very good at multitasking. Everything gets lessened when you are trying to focus on multiple things. If you're truly actively trying to listen to the music, you cannot be doing very well with the writing. If it is on as a pleasantry in the background, that is one thing. And we just give that as an example. It doesn't matter what the multitasking is. And even your scientists have demonstrated this, although some of you would fight with that idea. You think you're great at multitasking. We would say otherwise. However, the more you own your divinity, the more you can be present with multiple levels of reality at the same time. That is actually what the desire to do multitasking is an imitation of. The desire to multitask, or the willingness to multitask, is you trying to practice being in multiple realities at the same time. It doesn't actually help you get there, though. So we would suggest you let that go. And on that note, we will let ourselves go. And again, we thank you for walking the planet at this time, for choosing to remember who you are, for choosing to let who you are shine forth and share itself with the world. Namaste, dear ones. Okay. Well, I would thank you all as well, and especially my special guest, BJ King. You still there, BJ?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you would like to add? The next gathering is going to be that trip to the Mediterranean, correct?
Right. We're taking a cruise to Greece and Turkey and Egypt. And part of the reason we're going is to work on the situation in Albania, but Spirit feels that the closest we can safely get to Albania is through Greece and Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
now, is there still space in the trip? Do you know?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that would be another thing that they could contact you to find more
out. I would get them in contact with MJ Johnson in Minneapolis, and she's the one that's actually putting it together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is the end of October?
It starts, I believe, about the 21st of October, and it's a 12-day cruise,
Okay, very good. Anything else you'd like to share about things that you're working on right now or offering? I know you do soul paintings, you do the oversoul readings for people. Anything you'd like to share about any of that work?
Right. Oversoul readings, what happens is I am in communication with my eighth dimensional higher self, and that part of me contacts that level of the person I'm reading for, and so the answers or the information that relay from their oversoul to my oversoul through me is what actually comes out of my mouth. And I make a CD of the reading, and it lasts for 1 hour. And the charge is $144 for 1 hour. And they speak mostly to your life purpose and your contract that you made before you came in. And they also allow you to ask questions of a mundane nature or a spiritual nature, whatever is on your mind.
Wonderful. And are you still doing the paintings?
Yes, I do soul paintings of the symbols and people's aura, and the visual impact of being able to see those symbols, which represent the information that you brought in to share with everybody else, causes that information to be percolated in your consciousness and move into the cells of your body or the bloodstream. so it comes more into conscious mind of what you are to do and who you are, to have the visual painting of your symbols. And those paintings are $220, and I can do it from just their name and the place of their birth and their birthday. And that's all the information I need to tune into that.
And I can attest to both the power of both of those. I have a soul painting hanging up in here from BJ.
Yeah.
And I've definitely had readings from her, and they're wonderful. So
we also can do the soul paintings on a notebook, you know, where you slide the painting down in the clear back and front of a notebook, which makes it good for people who are mobile travel vans, so they can set it up, open it up and set it up kind of like a background to your altar kind of thing. And those the notebooks are $125.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay.
Okay, John. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, BJ. Thank you. Thanks to everyone out there listening. Please, as always, drop me an email, give me a call, let me know feedback about the show. Let me know what you'd like to hear about in future shows, questions, topics, and I'm always open to future suggestions. At some point, BJ, I would love to have you back on the show. It's always fun to get together. So,
thank you. We'd be glad to do that and talk about other subjects. Also, people were asking me, do you keep the shows online? Can they check into it later or not?
At this point, it's on BBS Radio. That is possible to do. Once I have my website up, people will be able to access the archives there as well.
Okay. Okay.
On BBS Radio, you have to get a membership to be able to go into the archives. But it's not that expensive. So anyway, and I will copy it and send you a copy, BJ.
I copied it while we were talking. Yeah. So
okay.
I appreciate the offer, though. Thank you.
Definitely. All right. Well,
love you. You
thank
take
you so
care,
much.
And I'll see you soon. Okay.
Very good, BJ. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. And I will be back next week, same time, same place. Well, actually, not the same place. I will be coming live from Springfield, Missouri, with my first in-person audience. So, hope you'll join me again then, out there in the truth within. And remember, you never know where this show is going to go. So I would ask you to take a step up, expose yourself a little bit more this week in whatever way you feel called to it, whatever way you feel comfortable enough with. And perhaps let somebody know that you listen to the show and invite them along to join us next week. So thank you so much. God bless. Goddess bless. Namaste.